Thank you. We gather in the Lord's house on this first Sunday during the season of Lent to prepare our hearts and minds to encounter the divine. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day. Thank you for joining us for worship on this first Sunday during the season of Lent. We hope our worship this morning will draw you closer to the one who gave his life for you, Jesus the Christ. If you are a first-time guest with us, thank you for joining us for worship. Take a moment to fill out a visitor's card, and you can drop it in the offering plate as you leave following the worship service this morning. Thank you for those that are joining us this morning on Facebook Live. If you are a first-time watcher this morning online, I encourage you to send me an email this week. Let me follow up with you and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. If you are watching us online, I also encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. Use that as a pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for today's worship service and many of the ministries going on in the life of our church. For those that are gathered in our sanctuary this morning, just a few reminders of things coming up this afternoon. A reminder, we have our Elon Roundtable meeting, which is our business meeting here at First Baptist this afternoon at 4 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. I hope you will come out for a time of fruitful discussion about the ministries here at First Baptist. That'll be at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then immediately following that at 5 o'clock, I'll be wrapping up our adult Bible study, the Sermon on the Mount. We've had a wonderful journey through Jesus' teachings in the Gospel of Matthew. And this afternoon at 5, we will be wrapping up that study. So I hope you'll join me in person and stay for that time of study. However, if you can't join me in person, you can always watch that study on Facebook Live as well this afternoon or sometime at a later time. Looking ahead to this week, some of the things going on in the life of our church. First, from our administrative assistant, Janice, she wanted to remind everybody that if you have items that you would like to place in the newsletter for the month of March, you need to get those things to her today. Please send those via email, but no later definitely than tomorrow. Make sure you beat me. I'm always the one is the last one to do things for the newsletter. She always walks in my office on whatever day she's putting the newsletter together, and she says, "Are you done yet?" And I always say, "Not yet," but that means if you beat me, you are doing what you need to do. But I plan on working on mine tomorrow, so make sure you beat me to her office with your newsletter article. So again, that's due tomorrow. Looking ahead to Tuesday, we have our bingo ministry at Golden Year Senior Center. If you'd like to help and go minister with them, you can talk to Sandy French this morning about going on Tuesday afternoon at 1:30. Wednesday, both choirs will meet. Handbells at 5:30. Our worship choir will be meeting at 6:30. So that'll be things going on during the week this week. Two mission reminders that you've heard about over the last couple weeks. We're continuing to collect items for our blessing bags. The items needed are listed in your bulletin this morning. Make sure you pick some of those items up. You can drop those off in the communication center or in the fellowship hall. We look forward to putting those bags together at the end of this month. Again, it'll be a wonderful opportunity to reach out to those individuals in need in our community. And then a reminder that next Sunday is our official collection for our Share the Love offering for our international missionaries. Many of you have already brought your envelopes in and dropped those off in the offering plate. Thank you in advance. But if you have not had the opportunity to do so and you're prayerfully considering to do that, pick up one of those love offering envelopes today and bring it by next Sunday. Again, those will go to support our international missionaries coming up in the couple weeks. Last but not least, do not forget that our new Lenten adult Bible study will begin next week. It'll be at 4 o'clock. It's the study of the Way by Adam Hamilton. And you will be want to be a part of this study because it'll help us draw closer to Him, draw closer to Christ. And that's what the season of Lent is all about. You can order the book, but it's not required. All you really need to do is bring your Bible and be a part of this study. But it'll start next Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. We've gathered here to lift praise to the one who has drawn us here and who draws us closer to Him. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him this day. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. our reading from Psalms, Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. Listen to these words. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. God has set a covenant with us, and it came through his Son, Jesus the Christ. And that is why we are here this day. Let us go to him in prayer this morning. O Lord, to you alone we lift up our souls. You are our God. We trust in you alone. Look upon us with mercy and love, the same steadfast mercy and love you have shown toward your people throughout history. Make your ways known to us. Guide us into your truth. Show us the way that we should go, for you are the God of our salvation, full of compassion and steadfast love, and those who wait on you will never be put to shame. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's stand and sing.
Now change us, Lord.
Our Old Testament reading this morning speaks of one of those covenants that God has established with us, reading from Genesis 9, verses 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." We can be thankful this day of the signs that God gives us on a daily basis of the covenants that He has established with us.
As you notice, we're doing more hymns for the season of Lent. So our next hymn this morning is "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Let's stand and sing.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Dear Lord, we are now in the holy season of Lent, a season of repentance and mercy. And during this time, you invite us into deeper into your world, your people, your Lent. Help us to use this time for personal reflection and growth, as well as outer focus on others. Give us hearts hungry to serve you and those who need what we have to give. Every day we are reminded of your boundless grace and generosity to us. We can never outgive your goodness, and that the least thing we can do for you will be rewarded full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and flowing over. May your peace be in our hearts, your grace be in our words, your love be in our hands, and your joy be in our souls. Amen.
You may be seated.
Thank you, choir, for our special music today. If you would, join with me in a word of prayer, and at the beginning of our time of prayer this morning, just spend a few moments in silence for a time of reflection as we go to God this morning. Let's pray. Loving God, giver of all light and life, you sent Jesus Christ into the world not to condemn but to save. May we seek him just as Nicodemus did, and in doing so, may we too find truth. Help us to lift up the light of Christ so that the world might believe in him and his truth and receive the gift of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world, we pray this day. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this Lenten Sunday morning. The season of Lent is a time as Christians that we are called to reflect on our walk with Christ and hopefully draw closer to Him as we draw closer to Holy Week and remember His sacrifice on the cross and His ultimate victory through the empty tomb. You will have noticed in our worship bulletin this morning that we've had made a few small, slight changes to our worship in order to help hopefully enhance our worship experience during the season of Lent. First, each Sunday during the season of Lent, we will be reading scripture passages from Psalms. We'll be reading an Old Testament scripture passage, and then I'll be preaching from the New Testament each Sunday. The additional scripture focus will hopefully draw you into scripture during the season of Lent. Reading scripture is an important spiritual discipline that hopefully will prepare you and equip you during this season. Second, we've added, as Gay just mentioned, we've added another hymn or another song that we'll be singing during our worship experience, our corporate worship experience. Singing praise to God is another important spiritual discipline that can help prepare us during this season to encounter Christ. So we hope that extra song will help draw you into Him as well. Finally, each Sunday, prior to the sermon, we will spend a time of quiet, reflective prayer. I encourage you during this time to go to Christ and whatever you need to do during that time. Maybe there's confession that you need to make. Maybe there's reconnection that you need to make. Whatever you need to do just in those few moments of silence in our time of corporate worship, take that time and use it as we prepare to encounter His Word each day. These opportunities during our corporate worship time can later be reflected in your personal worship time, because this season of Lent is all about reconnecting and realigning our relationship with Him. So when we encounter Him during Holy Week, on Palm Sunday, where we celebrate His triumphal entry into Jerusalem. On Maundy Thursday, where we remember that Last Supper with Him. On Good Friday, where we remember His sacrifice on the cross. And then on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, where we celebrate the victory through the empty tomb, we can encounter it in a brand new way. So use this time, corporately and individually, to draw closer to Him during this season of Lent. This is what Lent is all about. So during Lent, I'll also be preaching a sermon series that will hopefully provide opportunities for each of you to draw closer to Christ as well. The sermon series is titled Seekers. And each Sunday, we will look at examples of individuals in the Gospels who sought out Christ, who sought out Jesus for specific reasons. Just as they sought Him back then, we too are challenged and hopefully encouraged to seek Him out as well. There are many different reasons individuals seek out Jesus back then and today. This morning we'll look at a man who sought out Jesus in the middle of the night for one specific reason. He was seeking truth. Let's look at the story of Nicodemus this morning, the man seeking truth. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 1 through 21 this morning. Of course, as many of you turn to this passage, and the words will be on the screen behind me as well, you'll think, oh, I know one of those verses. I know one of those verses. That's one of the first verses I ever learned. John 3:16. We all can probably recite it right now if I said so. We're not going to recite it, but my guess is a lot of you might not realize that that famous verse happened in a discourse between Jesus and Nicodemus in the middle of the night. So let's see what Christ was trying to teach Nicodemus when Nicodemus sought Him out, when he sought out Jesus, seeking out truth. Reading John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21 this morning. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.
In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things?" Excuse me. "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." Now, many of you know that I majored in religion in college while I was down at UNC Wilmington. But I also spent quite a bit of time in the academic building where the psychology department was founded. The simple reason was that was where my beautiful bride spent most of her time as a psychology major, so where else am I going to spend my time? I took a few psychology courses while I was there, and one of the classes I took was with Dr. Overman, who was a cognitive psychologist who taught my intro to psychology class. And he introduced me to one psychologist and an inspirational and really groundbreaking book by the title of The Road Less Traveled. And the psychologist was M. Scott Peck. Now, many of us have heard of the Robert Frost poem, The Road Less Taken. We've read that poem. I think every English student in high school has to read that poem. And as a play off that poem, Peck wrote this book, The Road Less Traveled. Well, in this book, in this groundbreaking book, really, Peck shares some traits that humans can take that leads them towards personal and spiritual development. Okay? And according to Peck, one of those important traits that a human being can take is literally seeking truth in their life. Now, Peck states this: "Our view of reality is like a road map." We've all looked at a road map before, right? We are not born knowing truth. We're not born with it. We have to discover the truth that life brings us. Just think about a toddler. Think about a toddler who learns to crawl. We know that a toddler, when they learn to crawl, they're going to crawl all over the place and discover the world for themselves, right? They get into things we don't want them to get into. They crawl into the pantry and go through everything they get their little hands on, right? They're discovering life. They're discovering truth. They're putting together their roadmap of what they can get into and what life is all about. Peck goes on to say that we have to develop something of an internal map to help make sense of the world around us. That map directs us how to move about in the world in which we live to see, figure out where we want to go. Now, according to Peck, it takes a lot of effort to develop these internal maps of truth. And at some point, most of us will reach a point that we feel like our maps are done. Everything's done. We've learned all that we can possibly learn, and we put a final period, exclamation point, whatever you want to do, and say, I'm done. I'm finished. I've learned enough. I am done. We stop seeking to develop that internal map. To put it plainly, we've learned enough and we don't want to learn no more. But Peck goes on to say that only a relative and fortunate few will continue until the moment of death, exploring the mystery of reality, ever enlarging and refining and redefining their understanding of the world and what is true around them, ever growing and increasing that internal map of life. As we continue to build these internal roadmaps of reality, what we are doing is seeking after truth. We're trying to discover the world that is around us. Truth seeking contains a good share of curiosity. Those who keep building and honing these roadmaps have a vibrant sense of curiosity and education. Now you might be thinking, David, why are you giving me Psychology 101 as a sermon this morning? Well, this is where our good friend Nicodemus comes in. Because Nicodemus was one of those few unique individuals who decided that he wanted to seek out reality. He was a lifelong learner. He never got to a point where he was done. Nicodemus was a highly regarded man in Jewish society. He was devout in his faith. He was a Pharisee. Nicodemus had dedicated his life to seeking out truth about God. He knew that apart from God, there was no truth. So when he heard about this man named Jesus, it captured his curiosity. He simply could have ignored the facts about Jesus or what he heard about this man, but instead he wanted to know more. So he says to himself, we know, and he says to Jesus, we know that no one can do these signs that you are doing apart from the presence of God. You are a teacher who has come from God, obviously. You see, Nicodemus had come to Jesus seeking divine truth. But when Jesus begins to share these higher truths with Nicodemus that evening, Nicodemus just did not get it. Jesus is adding new, unexplored sections to Nicodemus's roadmap. Jesus speaks about new life, being born again. Nicodemus had never heard this kind of talk before, and he doesn't know how to interpret it in his view of the world. His mind takes him to literal places. He sees someone stuffed inside his mother's womb, and he says, that's just not possible. How can that be? So Nicodemus is obviously confused. He has come to Jesus in the middle of the night, and literally the dark night symbolizes where he is literally in understanding, because he's in the dark. Nicodemus is hearing about something completely new. Here is a man who has developed a highly detailed religious roadmap, and Jesus is adding things to it that he just does not understand. Nicodemus has studied the scriptures. He knew it backwards and forwards. He had memorized it. He was devout in his faith. But Jesus' words were uncharted territory. How is it, Jesus asks him, how can you be a teacher of our Israel and you do not understand these things? Here is a simple truth. For not just Nicodemus, but each of us now. There is a whole lot more in the world that we do not know than what we do know. And if you believe that you're at a point where I know all that I want to know, or I know that I can't learn anymore, or I'm an expert in life, let me tell you, you're wrong. You are like Nicodemus going to Jesus in the middle of the night because we got a whole lot more to learn. We may think that our roadmap for life is quite developed and accurate, but we have all a lot more to discover. God has a whole lot more He wants to reveal to us. This is where Nicodemus finds himself in the middle of the night. He is confronted by the things that he does not understand. And the question is, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Do we just throw our hands up in the air and say, I don't understand it, and just leave? Or do we chew on it? Do we think about it? Do we process it? Do we discuss it? Do we come back to it later on and say, what does that mean? How does that go? Think about how many times the disciples who followed Jesus for 3 years in ministry heard something that Jesus said, and they didn't quite get it. But do you think they just kind of went, I don't get it. Okay, I'm done with it. Think about all the conversations they had on those 3 years of ministry that we see within the verses, in between the verses in Scripture. Those conversations they had as they, what did Jesus mean by that? Do you think he meant this or this? Or those conversations with Jesus that we just don't have that he was explaining in depth? You see, Nicodemus became a disciple of Christ. We forget that. But we have to be the exact same way. We have to keep learning. M. Scott Peck, the psychologist, asked the same question. What happens when one has striven long and hard to develop a working view of the world, a seemingly useful, workable map, and then is confronted with new information suggesting that the view that we might have is wrong and the map needs to be largely redrawn in a new way? The painful effort required seems frightening and almost overwhelming. That's how Nicodemus felt that night. Everything that he had learned, everything he had understood, was almost being redrawn for him in a simple conversation, and that's why he didn't get it. But that's okay. It's okay. Because he was having a conversation with the Savior. He was having a conversation with the one who was going to redefine his life for him. When we encounter information that does not jive with our already established notion of the truth, our first instinct is to ignore it or even reject it. Put our hands up, put our solid walls around it, and say, do not touch it. Do not confront me with what I already know. It takes a lot more effort to adjust our world view. But it's okay. It's okay. It requires courage to step into uncharted territory. But if we think about it, that's exactly what Jesus asked us to do. That's exactly what he asked the disciples to do, to step into a whole new world. That's what he was asking Nicodemus to do that night. Although he can't make sense of what Jesus is saying that night, it did not scare Nicodemus away. He keeps listening. Jesus unloads the full truth on Nicodemus. He didn't hold anything back that night. He reveals himself as the divine Son of Man. Jesus will be lifted up, crucified, so that he can deliver eternal life. Jesus reveals the portrait of a loving God who loves the world. God chooses life over death, salvation over condemnation. The truth about God is rooted in love. He reveals everything to Nicodemus that night. Did it scare Nicodemus away? The simple answer is no. This is not the only time we see Nicodemus in Scripture. This is the first time we see him, but he is also revealed multiple other times.
He'll show up two or three more times in the annals of the Gospel of John. Each time, Nicodemus's actions reveal that his faith in Jesus is growing. It grew out of that first conversation. The final time we meet him, he is no longer lurking in the darkness. He's not approaching Jesus in the middle of the night. In broad daylight, he very publicly helps to bury Jesus' body. He is seeing Jesus lifted up on the cross, and he believes because he knows, because he took that conversation and he chewed on it and he thought about it and he let it reshape his worldview and his map. And because of it, his life was changed. And because of it, because he went to seek out truth, his life was changed. In closing this morning, as we journey during this season of Lent and through the course of our days, may we continue to be seekers of truth. May we remain as curious and open to the new depths of divine truth, ready to enter uncharted territories. Our faith continues to expand and mature through life. We never reach a point in our lives where we know everything about God, because God is so immeasurable and changing and so dynamic that he can be so dynamic in your life if you let him. If you let him. Paul writes, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways." As seekers of God's truth, our faith develops to equip us through each season of life. Whether you're at the youngest season or the oldest season, we have a lot of seasons, and God meets us where we are, and he has those conversations with us. And as we mature, we come to view and understand God's timeless truth in new ways every single day. That truth may lead us to revise our established roadmaps, but we journey onward into God's light, for we trust him. We trust that God is there guiding us each and every step. God's truth is vast and profound. God patiently leads us forward from the darkness into light. May we be seekers of God's truth, just like Nicodemus did, open and curious for all the days of our lives. And I'll encourage you, and I'll kind of expect it, and I'll promise it. I guarantee if you do, your roadmap will definitely change. And that's a good thing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for such a role model of seeking truth that was Nicodemus. I thank you for his willingness to begin in dark, but to step out into the light through his faithful journey to find truth that was found in Jesus Christ. Father, may we do the exact same thing. May we never shut our minds off to you, because you are revealing yourself new every single day. Father, that's our challenge. That's our challenge during the season of Lent and every other day of the year as we draw closer to you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Maybe today, as we sing our closing hymn this morning, maybe for the first time you recognize that you've been seeking him and he's finally revealed himself to you, and for the first time you're stepping out into the light. I'll be down front. Let me come talk to me. Let's pray about turning our life over to the one who has transformed your life. Or maybe today you're just looking for a church body who's just seeking to follow him, to changing our roadmap for the world, in our community, and in the world. Maybe First Baptist Eli will be that home for you. Join us. May you be a part of our family here. Or maybe today, during this opening Sunday of Lent, you've been struggling. Maybe there's things you've been wrestling with
With God, maybe there's some things that you're still in the dark about, or maybe there's just time you need to spend time in prayer. Spend time in your pew, come up to the altar, it's always open, or I'll pray with you up front. Whatever you need to make today, whatever it is, don't put it off. Don't say, well, I'll wait till next Sunday, or I'll wait till two Sundays from now, or I'll wait till the end of the season of Lent. Let it start right now, because this is the time to draw closer to Him. This is what Lent is all about. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. Today, know we go into a world where there's a lot of stuff to learn, a lot of stuff to draw in. May we draw closer to Him as our roadmap expands. Go in peace, seeking Him this day.